Good morning, folks. Happy Wednesday, middle of the week. Hope you're doing well wherever you are. So glad you joined us for this hour of Keep Believing. My name is Ray Pritchard at Keep Believing. We like to say our name is our mission. We want to help you believe in Jesus and then find the courage, strength, and optimistic faith to keep on believing in Him. Been on holiday watch, and so this is what it is today, National Root Canal Appreciation Day. I have a lot of questions. We're grateful for all the dentists and the dental hygienists and assistants who help us out, and we appreciate that very much. This is also National Eat What You Want Day. I wish everybody to know I'm heartily in favor of this. And then finally, it's Hostess Cupcake Day, which I don't even know who makes this stuff up, but all this stuff is real. So root canals, eat what you want, and Hostess Cupcake Days, well, middle of the week, glad you are with us. Just a reminder, if you want to listen to this program later, it's very easy to do. Just surf on over to afr.net. There's a link at the top that says podcast. You click on that big drop-down menu, scroll on down to Keep Believing, click on that, and you'll see all of our programs listed there. You can listen online, or you can download any of our programs to your own device. Listen at your leisure whenever it's convenient. Hey, before I go on, let me mention that our ministry, which is Keep Believing Ministries, has just released this week a brand new booklet called Spiritual Warfare in the Last Days. This is far and away the most important booklet I have ever written. And that's why I'm mentioning it here. It actually, this booklet, Spiritual Warfare in the Last Days, started right here at American Family Radio some months ago when, in the middle of doing today's issues with Tim Wildman, Tim just looked up and said, we'd been going over some bad news. He said, do you have any good news? Well, that set me to thinking, what can we expect according to the Bible as we rush headlong toward the end of history? If we could write tomorrow's headlines today, what would they say? Is there good news? Is there hope for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? And hey, you read the Bible. Yeah, I know there's a lot of, you read about the trumpets and the bowls and the seals of the book of Revelation and the rise of the Antichrist. And then you look at the newspaper and you go, wow, this world is messed up. But friends, there's a great deal of good news as well. So I wrote this little booklet, Spiritual Warfare in the Last Days. Every pastor in America needs a copy. If you've got a Sunday school class or a small group, there are questions at the end of this little booklet. It's fairly short. You could read it, I think, in 25, 30, 40 minutes, something like that, maybe less than that. Questions at the end, so you could use it for Sunday school or for small group ministry. And I included in there my 5-step plan for surviving and thriving in the last days. Okay? You need this. So the title is Spiritual Warfare in the Last Days. Here's how you get a copy. Surf on over, go to keepbelieving.com. Keepbelieving.com, that's our ministry. Keepbelieving.com, and there on the front page, big, right on the front page, it says, get your free copy of Spiritual Warfare in the Last Days. Just click on that, and you'll find all, that'll take you to a page, all the information you need. I hope you'll get a copy of this booklet, Spiritual Warfare in the Last Days, keepbelieving.com. How close are we? Well, really, really close. I believe we are knocking on the door of the last days of human history. So this booklet is for you. Now, this is Final Questions Week here on Keep Believing. Monday, is there life after death? Tuesday, will we see our loved ones again? Today, how are the dead raised? Thursday, what is heaven like? And then Friday, we're going to have a prayer time together. So how are the dead raised? We've got a text, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 through 58. Probably the central passage in all the Bible about the resurrection of the dead. So we'll start here. No question is more fundamental to the human race than this. What happens when we die? Since death comes to all of us sooner or later, We're all forced to face this question and to come up with some kind of answer. And if you scour to the ends of the human race, you find a number of different answers. Increasingly, secular people say, claim to believe, nothing happens. You're born, you live, you die, you disappear. And that's the end. This life is all there is. Nothing happens at all. Other people believe in some form of reincarnation, that you keep coming back in various lives, in various incarnations, until finally perhaps you either reach nirvana or you're absorbed somehow into the universe. A lot of people, maybe religious people, a lot of people believe something happens, and I put that in quotes, something. They don't know what, but they understand intuitively this life cannot be the end, and death is not the end of our personal existence, but they don't really know. What do Christians believe? We believe in the resurrection of the body, the resurrection of the body. So who's right? How can we be sure? This is an all-important issue, since death eventually knocks on every door sooner or later. The beautiful words of Thomas Gray in his elegy written in a country churchyard speak the solemn truth. The boast of heraldry, the pomp of power, and all that beauty, all that wealth e'er gave, awaits alike the inevitable hour. The paths of glory lead but to the grave. So true. It is true. The paths of glory lead but to the grave. But what then? If all of our worldly achievements end up in a coffin 6 feet underground, what gives life meaning and purpose? So I have watched on TV as these mediums have claimed to be able to contact the dead. Maybe you've seen one of these fellas is a really nice-looking young man. He's well-groomed and he's well-spoken, and he claims that he can get in touch with your departed uncle or aunt or your mom or your dad or your grandparents. He claims he can talk to the dead, and he brings back messages from the other side, which, by the way, are almost always positive and encouraging and hopeful. It's interesting. When those shows are on TV, phone lines are jammed. People are calling by the hundreds and thousands. I understand that. Even though I don't believe in what he's doing, I do not believe this is real. I do understand why people call. We all want to know, don't we? What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible teaches the resurrection of the body. Now, that can be hard to believe. I told you yesterday about my first graveside service, brand new, freshly minted pastor, fresh out of seminary, and Hebrew and Greek and theology, and how I choked on the words because I realized, having my first face-to-face brush with death, so to speak, as a pastor, it just overwhelmed me. And the Lord told me, I had quite an experience when the Lord really spoke to me and said, Bray, you're looking in the wrong place. You need to go back 2,000 years. There's a little tomb carved into the hillside outside the Damascus Gate in Jerusalem. Look inside there. That tomb is empty, and it's been empty for 2,000 years. We don't believe in the resurrection of the dead because of anything we see with our eyes. We believe it because Jesus rose from the dead. Now, in our conservative circles, sometimes we tend to downplay the teaching of the resurrection of the dead as if we're people who are in heaven right now, as if the resurrection doesn't matter. But that's completely wrong. The resurrection of the body is central to the Christian faith. It is the great hope of the Christian gospel, that one day death will be defeated once and for all, and that we will rise bodily from the dead. Until that happens, our redemption is not complete. Therefore, as long as our saved loved ones are still in the grave, their eternal bliss, which is very real, they are with the Lord now, it is less than what they will experience in the future. Now, how do I know this? Well, Paul wrote a whole chapter of the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 15, 58 marvelous verses. And here's the background. Evidently, some people in Corinth, some false teachers had come in and were confusing these young Corinthian believers. They were telling them that that the body is to be discarded and only the soul goes to heaven. That is, just throw away the body, forget about it. At death, the soul is set free and it doesn't matter what happens to the body. That's really what the ancient Greek philosophers believed. The body is the husk, burn the husk and the soul goes free. Here's the real problem underneath all of it. Experience does seem to argue against the resurrection. I get it. There are far more funerals than resurrections. As a pastor, I was often asked to officiate at funerals. No one has ever asked me to officiate at a resurrection, though I'd be happy to do that. If you judge by the visual evidence, I mean, just go to a cemetery, it's hard to believe the dead will ever be raised. You can go to the cemetery with a loaf of bread and a jug of tea and wait for someone to rise from the dead. You'll wait a long time because there hasn't been a resurrection in 2,000 years. Funerals, we have aplenty. Where are the resurrections? Friends, death is everywhere. Everywhere. Just open your eyes, look around. Death stalks our trail, and even when we feel safe, we aren't. It's the reason why playwright Noel Coward called this a death-sentenced generation. No wonder Paul called death the last enemy, 1 Corinthians 15:26. The resurrection, then, is fundamental to the gospel. When Paul defined the gospel at the first part of 1 Corinthians 15, he said it's that Christ died and that he was buried and that he was raised according to the scriptures and that he was seen. He goes on to say in that same chapter, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, we are still in our sins, and we are most to be pitied of all the world because we have been deluded. Then come the glorious words of 1 Corinthians 15:20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. The firstfruits, that's an interesting word. Firstfruits means the first in a long series. The firstfruits of the first part of the barley harvest or the first part of the fruit harvest, or you could say the apple harvest. You get the first apples from the tree. What that means is there's a whole lot more to come. If there are first fruits, there must be second fruits and third fruits and so on. The resurrection of Jesus is the down payment that guarantees that all who follow him by faith will one day be raised as well. So what exactly will those resurrected bodies be like? How will it happen? I mean, after all, people die in so many different ways, and death is not very beautiful. It isn't. You know that. What about those bodies that waste away through disease, or those who die at sea, or whose bodies have been vaporized, or who die in a fiery crash? So listen to Paul's answer, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 through 37. But someone, Paul says, may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? See, that's my question today. How are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish, Paul says. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. What you sow, when you sow, Paul says, you do not plant the body that will be just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. Now, you see that? When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be. Sometimes we talk about, well, we planted Uncle Joe out there on the hillside, meaning we buried him. And some people may say, well, that's disrespectful. Not at all. It's exactly the image Paul uses here. We plant our loved ones in the ground. It's like seeds. Our earthly bodies are like seeds you plant in the ground. The seed doesn't look like the fruit it will produce, but you can't get the fruit without the seed. If you want pumpkins, you don't plant pumpkins in the ground. You plant pumpkin seeds. You don't take a watermelon and put it in the ground. You put watermelon seeds in the ground. Ditto for oak trees. If you want oak trees, you plant an acorn, and an oak tree comes up. Here's the thing, friends. You could look at an acorn all day long, and it will never look like an oak tree. Yet, that humble, humble acorn contains within it a forest of oak trees. Now think about that. Take an acorn, look at it. It doesn't look like an oak tree, but there's oak trees inside there. Inside every acorn, there's a forest of oak trees. Now Paul says, that's what the resurrection of the dead is like. We are planted in the ground when we die as believers, but within us by the power of God, there is coming one day a great harvest of resurrection life. Now, I want you to stay tuned because we're just beginning to look at what Paul has to say here in this wonderful passage. If you got your Bibles, go grab them. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to look at it again when we get back after the break. So stay tuned, friends. You are listening to Keep Believing. My name is Ray Pritchard. We'll be right back.
AFA Foundation Director Riley Wildman.
A charitable gift annuity is perfect for AFA supporters with an eternal perspective like Lucy Overstreet.
Psalm 78 tells us that we are to tell our children and our grandchildren and the future generations after them what the Lord has done in our lives and what the Word of God says.
Lucy's charitable gift annuity will keep supporting this ministry for generations.
I wanted something that would have eternal value, and that's the way I think of the American Family Association investment.
Contact Riley Wildman and her staff at the AFA Foundation and find out if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit our website, afafoundation.net.
My life is not about me, it's about him.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
God has set His heart on the person that is listening to us right now, who is at the very bottom, and they've lost a job, a child has died, and they don't feel like life is worth living. God has set His heart on you. Even when we're not worthy, we are worth something to God.
Exploring the Word, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
The following are real-life stories from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt.
I used my credit cards as a source of income.
It was not a good situation.
I couldn't pay my bills.
The interest on the cards was really high.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief.
They contacted all of our creditors, and they put us on a plan for success.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I've been able to pay off close to $15,000.
We're doing a lot better.
Please pick up the phone and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
It's a godsend.
We're debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Well, welcome back, friends, to Keep Believing. My name is Ray Pritchard, and you're listening to this program on American Family Radio. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday morning. Okay, here's where we are. This is Final Questions Week. Monday, is there life after death? Tuesday, will we see our loved ones again? Today, how are the dead raised? Tomorrow, what is heaven like? And then just get ready, Friday morning, our big, huge online prayer time. You know, I like to talk about it that way. It's so much fun. It's just, I really enjoy that hour when we can talk together and you can share your prayer requests and I can pray for you online. So that's coming up on Friday. So today, how are the dead raised? I mean, we know it's in the Bible. Read 1 Corinthians 15. You can't read this chapter without understanding that the resurrection of the body is at the heart of the Christian gospel. We believe death has been defeated by the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the church in Corinth, remember Corinth, part of ancient Greece, home to philosophers and playwrights, the land historically of Aristotle and Socrates and Aristophanes and so many of the great thinkers of the ancient world. Well, influenced somewhat, I think, by Greek philosophy, there were some people, whoever they were, we don't know, who had come to this young group of Corinthian believers and had told them, there's not going to be a resurrection because the body doesn't matter. The body is just the receptacle for the soul. The soul is what matters. So when you die, you burn the body because it doesn't matter, but the soul is set free to go to heaven. And Paul is going, no. That's completely wrong. Now, well, I should say this. It's partly right. The soul does go to be with the Lord, but the body matters greatly to God because your body is created by God. It's a gift from God. It's part of what it means to be made in the very image and likeness of God, that our bodies are shaped and designed by God in heaven. So our bodies matter to God greatly. So the idea that you're just going to discard the body and therefore it'll never be raised, completely wrong. Now, Paul says it's like planting a seed. If you want to get a harvest, you got to plant the seed. We use that sometimes, and I mentioned this before. You know, we planted Uncle Joe out there in the cemetery, and some people wrinkle their noses. They don't like that. But it's a biblical image. It's planting a seed. If Uncle Joe was a believer, you're planting him in the ground like you plant a seed because you're expecting a great harvest. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, uses this analogy of the seed and the harvest to correct two common errors. Number one, that the resurrection body is going to be identical to the one that was buried, but also number two, that the resurrection body will be completely unrelated to the original. So when I die, I'm going to be planted in the ground, and one day when Jesus comes back, my body's going to be raised. And what will my body be? Is it going to be exactly like what it is today? Oh, no. And I say, thank God, because as the years roll along and, I get up every day. And now that I'm coming in toward my 70th birthday, I think about this every day. You wake up, you got your aches and pains. And I went to the doctor last week and checked on this and checked on that and run this scan and get this blood test, all this. Well, so I'm glad. I'm glad that when I'm raised, it's not going to be this exact body. But it's also true that when I am raised by the grace of God, whatever my resurrection body is, it's not going to be unrelated to who I am. When I die, my body is going to be planted in the ground. It becomes like the seed that must die in order to give life. So when I am resurrected, it's going to be Ray Pritchard who comes up out of the grave. But thank God, it won't be the Ray Pritchard I am today. It's going to be a whole new me. Yet it will still be me. There's continuity between the me of today and the me of tomorrow. It's good. I'm glad about that. I'll still be around, friends. But in that day, all the human weakness will be removed. All those mannerisms I have that frustrate the people who love me and have to live close to me. All the habits that I have accumulated over a lifetime, some of which really need to disappear. All of that. Thank God, all of it. And all the lingering effects of sin, all of it will be gone. It'll be removed. And in the process, it's going to be me, vastly improved by God. It won't be the Ray Pritchard I am today, but I'm not going to be someone else either. Look, it's not like I'm going to be raised as Wilbur Jones or Samantha Thompson. Look, if I come back as Wilbur or Samantha, I'm going to have to talk to somebody about something. But I'm not worried about that because that's not going to happen. You see, if it's not me, then really I'm not raised at all. So what I'm saying is what I think Paul is saying. It will be me, but it's going to be a whole new me, vastly improved by God. And all my friends say, thank God, let that day come soon. Well, and I say it myself because I live in this body, but I long for a better day. I do. I long for a better day. I'd like to be a better person here in this life. And things pull me down and things discourage me and habits cling to me. You know, Hebrews talks about the sin that does so easily beset us. And just the Romans chapter 7, the things I don't want to do, I do. The things I want to do, I can't do. They're just all that, the flesh and the spirit warring within me. Okay, look, I am to my resurrection body as the acorn is to the oak tree. Today I'm an acorn. But in that day, going to be like a forest of oak trees. That is what John meant when he said, what we will be has not yet been made known. 1 John 3:2. We shall be like him, John says. That's good. Be like Jesus. For we shall see him, the transforming vision, as he is. But his real point there is, anything you say on this side is just speculation. It's how much do we really know about the resurrection? I think I've given you this illustration before. It's like a little baby in the womb. And let's say it's in the 9th month of pregnancy. How much does that little baby know? Well, on the inside of the womb, we know that babies inside the womb, they can hear noise from the outside. They can recognize mom's voice and dad's voice. They can respond to light and to touch. They're moving around and kicking around, and they have some awareness of their surroundings. And if you could interview a baby in the womb, you would say, oh, sure, I know my mom's voice, and I know my dad's voice, and I know when they're talking about me, and I know what's going on around me. But suddenly they're pushed through the birth canal, and out they come, and there's lights, and there's sound, and there's people, and somebody, you know, is cleaning me up and all that, and it's all frightening and fearful. And then you lay the baby on the mother's breast, and the little boy goes, ah. He stops crying. He rests because his mother's voice, he knows. We know about as much about the next life as the unborn baby knows about life outside the womb. We hear the sound and we see a little bit of the light from heaven, but we don't really know. What we will be in that day has not yet been made known. Today, I'm an acorn. Tomorrow, a mighty oak tree. You cannot tell by looking at me what I will be. And you know what? I can look in the mirror and see myself and mostly see the imperfections. But I can't imagine Ray Pritchard in the resurrection, but there are enormous powers resident in me, latent today, that shall be brought to life by the great power of God in the resurrection. One day, those latent powers will be fully displayed. Said another way, today I'm a nut. Tomorrow, I'm an oak tree. I said it because that cheers me up, but you know, it's true. All of us are just a little bit nutty, but in Jesus Christ, oak trees by the great power of God. So look, this ought to revolutionize our view of death. I do know from almost 50 years in the ministry how difficult it is to stand by the casket of a dear friend or family member and feel the overwhelming power of death staring you in the face. It's sometimes it is so overpowering you can almost not even stand there. You feel as if death is alive and it's laughing at you and saying, you fool, you believed all that Jesus stuff and you thought you would live forever. But I have the last laugh. Your friend is dead and you'll never see him again. And what's more, you'll be dead soon and all your hope will be gone. What I'm saying is, I've been there in the funeral home. I've stood by the casket. I've almost heard that voice in my ears. But then I consider what Paul is saying. Death is like planting the seed in the ground. Okay, so let me, little Bible question for you. Here's the Bible question. What is the one thing that's necessary before you can have a resurrection? I'll give you a second to think about that. What's the one thing, the absolute one thing that's necessary without which there can be no resurrection? Yeah, you know, you got to die first, right? If you want to be raised from the dead, you have to die first. If you never plant the seed, you never reap the harvest. So friends, write it down, please, in great big letters. No one will ever be resurrected who wasn't already dead. You see, that means that death, which seems so fearful and overwhelming to us, is actually the necessary first step to the resurrection, which is why death has lost its sting and the grave has been robbed of its victory. Through Jesus Christ, death now becomes the doorway to immortal glory. And I know the passageway may seem dark and fearful, But there's a light shining. There's a light shining. That great gospel song, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. Do you know that one? You remember that one? It's been around for over 100 years. There, and one of the verses goes like this. There's a light in the valley of death now for me, since Jesus came into my heart. That's exactly right. Jesus has been through the dark valley of death. He went through for us. He went through ahead of us. And my friends, Jesus didn't just go through. He left the light on. There's a light in the valley of death now for me. Dr. Gerhard Dirks is considered by many to be the father of the computer. Now, shortly after World War II, he designed the mechanism that we now call computer memory. Besides being fantastically brilliant, he was also a fervent Christian. He once remarked, this many, many years ago, that it would be one day possible to reduce a human being to a precise mathematical equation, bounce the formula off the moon, and then reassemble the person again. Now, that has never been done. Let me stop and say, that's never been done yet, so far as I know, okay? Because amazing things are happening in our world. But this thought, take a human being, turn him into a mathematical equation, bounce it off the moon, and then reassemble the person again? Well, here's my only comment. If man can do that, think of what God can do. Resurrection is no problem for him. As the seed is to the harvest, so are we to what we shall be. So understand, get it carefully now. Resurrection is not mere reconstruction. If a cancer victim was raised with cancer, what's the point in being raised at all? If you died in a bomb blast, why would you want to come back in 500 separate pieces? No, no, no. We will be raised immortal with all earthly defects removed forever. And we're going to have powers in that day beyond our current imagination. So one day, I was listening to a man preach, and he was talking about the resurrection. And he said, well, in heaven, he said two things that interested me. He said, number one, in heaven, we're going to be like Jesus, since Jesus was 33 years old when he died and rose from the dead. He speculated, we're all going to be 33 in heaven. Well, I don't know. I don't think that, certainly the Bible doesn't literally say that, but it's an interesting thought. He also said, and this grabbed my attention in a different way. He said, in that day, we're going to have 500 different senses. You know, we got taste, touch, and smell. We got the current five. He said, we're going to have in that day 500 senses compared to our current five. Now, first of all, I don't even know what that would mean. We can't prove that today, but at least it is consistent with the image of the seed and the harvest. Now, Ben Franklin, when he was a young man, wrote an epitaph for himself. This is not the one that's on his grave, but it is one he wrote for himself as a young man. It wonderfully catches at least the spirit of this passage. The body of B. Franklin Printer, like the cover of an old book, its contents torn out and stripped of its lettering and gilding, lies here, food for worms. But the work shall not be lost, for it will, as he believed, appear once more in a new and more elegant edition, revised and corrected by the author. Okay, that's good. I'm not saying Benjamin Franklin was a Christian. I don't think there's any clear evidence of that, but he understood what the Bible said. And so, as a young man, he wrote that epitaph. Let us then understand, friends, as we are looking ahead into the future, that God has ordained better things for his people. Though we die, we will not stay dead. You got that? Got that? Whatever else we say, just understand, death for the Christian is not the end, but it is the beginning. Through Jesus Christ, we are going from the land of the dying to the land of the living, and we shall be with the Lord forevermore. Now, I want you to stay tuned. We got one final break in this hour. Then we're going to come back and wrap this up with great encouraging news. Stay tuned. You're listening to Keep Believing. My name is Ray Pritchard here on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Millions of persecuted believers, they're suffering, and they can use your prayers and financial support right now. Hey, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International in the country of Zambia, the place where the famous missionary David Livingstone carried out years of ministry. Shadrach is an elder in Ashanti Church. He had word that there was an attack coming one Sunday, and sure enough, 20 radicals showed up in an attempt to kill all the Christians gathered for worship in that service, about 200 in number. Now, in self-defense, Shadrach had a handgun. He used it on a man named Ishmael, didn't kill him, but he injured him, but nursed him back to health. He was a livestock farmer, so he took care of the man's livestock. The daughter of that man could not read, could not write, so Shadrach would teach her to read and write using a Bible League program. And I can tell you, in grateful response, the entire family and 80 former radicals have come to place their faith in Jesus Christ. They need Bibles at $5 a Bible. Would you pray about it? And then call 800-YES-WORD, 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 or give at sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
You ever make a change and then think, why didn't I do this years ago? Well, that's how people feel about switching to MediShare for their healthcare, especially now with inflation the way it is. People are very happy with the savings. Most families save about $500 a month when they switch. It's a huge help when prices are going up so fast in so many other areas. And MediShare's customer satisfaction rate is double that of health insurance. It's just a different experience, and people really like that. MediShare is an alternative to health insurance. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills, and it's been going strong for over 25 years. It really is the gold standard, the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. Find out why people love it. Find out why they rave about the customer service, and find out how good it feels to save some money right now. They're super easy to talk to. Here's the number. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Keep Believing. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday morning. Here's our last segment together. My name is Ray Pritchard. Hope you're having a great day. Just a reminder, if you want to listen to this program later, so easy to do. Go to AFR.net. AFR.net. At the top, the link says podcast, plural podcast. Click on that drop-down menu of all of the programs we archive, which is a great many of them here on American Family Radio. Just come on down to Keep Believing. Click on that, and you can listen online to any of our programs or download any of the programs free of charge to your own device. Listen anytime you want. And also a reminder, if you would like to get your copy of my new booklet, most important booklet I've ever written, Spiritual Warfare in the Last Days, go to Keep Believing. That's the name of the program, but just go to that website, keepbelieving.com. Click on the big image, the big link there on the front page, and they'll take you to the page, give you all the information. Get your copy of Spiritual Warfare in the Last Days. That's at keepbelieving.com. Okay. Final questions week. Monday, is there life after death? Tuesday, will we see our loved ones again? Today, how are the dead raised? Tomorrow, Thursday, what is heaven like? And Friday, our prayer time. So we're in the middle of Paul's discussion about the resurrection body. He's literally dealing with this question. How are the dead raised? And Paul says, well, it's like planting a seed. You don't plant, if you want pumpkins, you don't put a pumpkin in the ground. You take pumpkin seeds and put them into the ground. If you want an oak tree, you take a little acorn and put the acorn in the ground. And as the acorn is to the oak tree, so my life today, my body today is to my resurrection body. My body today, imperfect as it is, it's like the acorn. And yet inside me, by the power of God, put there by the power of God, there's the potential one day will become reality for a new and vastly improved Ray Pritchard. We'll all be glad when that day finally comes. So just think, as the seed is to the harvest, as the acorn is to the oak tree, as the watermelon seed is to the whole crop of watermelons, right? Okay. As the seed is to the harvest, even so, our body today is to the resurrection body. So, Paul now uses a comparison in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 through 44. The purpose of this, he's just going to flesh out now what the difference between our current situation is and the resurrection. So, what's it going to be like, Paul? He says, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Taking Paul literally then, as I think we must, today our bodies are perishable, dishonorable, weak, and natural. Look, if you want proof, just consider the five B's of middle age: baldness, bifocals, bridges, bulges, and bunions. Okay, if you're over 40, you know what I'm talking about. Baldness, bifocals, bridges, bulges, and bunions. How you doing on those five things? Most of us could check off a whole bunch of them. Some of us could check off all five of those things. Look, nothing works right. Just wait. You guys who are in your 20s and early 30s, just wait. You're coming in our direction. You say, you old people, you just complaining about, just wait, just wait. You know, it happens to all of us sooner or later. Our bodies wear out. They just wear out. We slow down. Our bodies decay. They sag. We groan. Our bodies may even give off a little bit, a malodorous essence, so to speak. We like to brag, don't we, about our strength? But think what we've learned in this last 2 years of the pandemic. A tiny microbe, a little microscopic virus enters your body. It brings you down. It makes you sick. It can put you in the hospital. It can take your life. Sooner or later, we grow old and our bodies begin to break down. Eventually, they stop working all together. So here's the bad news. I'm a supplement junkie. I believe in, here's my plan. Not that anybody's interested in it, but my daily regimen, I have like four or five things that are, I take that the doctor prescribes for this and that and blood pressure and a few other things. But then B, C, D, E, Q, and Z. That's my plan. Vitamin B, vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E. Q, of course, is quercetin. And Z is for zinc. I don't think I'd ever thought about quercetin until we got into this to this pandemic stuff. So I take that stuff every day along with a few other things, right? I have a whole handful. I got up this morning, had a handful of things, and I take it like over a period of about an hour and a half to give my body time to absorb it all. Right, I'm into that kind of stuff. And I'm just confessing my own situation here. Whenever I read an article about, you know, see one of these little inserts that they give you at the grocery store, and it says, here's the latest thing to renew your skin, or here's the latest thing to give you more oomph and spizorinctum, or whatever it is. It's, you know, it's from some leafy plant that's grown down in Nigeria somewhere, right, or Costa Rica or something like that. I'm going to go out and buy it. Just got to have it and try it. Look, it doesn't matter. What Paul is saying, no amount of vitamin C or Siberian ginseng can change the ultimate fact. At best, We can only slow down the aging process. We cannot delay it forever. By contrast, here's the good news now. Our new bodies, our resurrected bodies, they will be imperishable, which means indestructible, glorious, beautiful beyond all imagining, powerful, with abilities beyond our wildest dreams, and spiritual, made for intimate relationship with God. We will be raised with a body that is suitable for eternal life. It will last forever, with no decay, no wear, no tear, no limitations, and no failures or defects of any kind. I have on my weekly list, I need to call the dentist and make an appointment, and I need to go get my eyes examined. I got the cataract surgery done a few months ago, and I think about this stuff. But look, we're just reminded every day we are wearing out, but we are coming to a day, we're coming to a place, we're coming to a time, friends, no decay, no limitations, no failures, no defects, no mental handicaps, no emotional handicaps, no physical handicaps. We have bodies that are eternally alive. Dr. Lee Robertson, a great hero of mine shortly before his death, and I think Dr. Robertson, who's in Chattanooga for so many years, Tennessee Temple, established that school, is where I met my wife. Shortly before he died at the age of, I think, 97, he said, I expect to outlive the stars. I like that. I like that. Well, so do I. Okay, now, let's wrap this up, shall we? Five summary statements that help us think about what Paul is saying here. Number one, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundational truth of Christianity. Everything else we believe stands or falls on that great truth. We must never compromise this doctrine. It is entirely non-negotiable. If you say Jesus didn't rise from the dead, literally, physically, and bodily, whatever else you may be, you are not a Christian. You have put yourself outside the boundaries of Orthodox Christian faith. It is the foundational truth that Jesus is alive today. Number two, our resurrection then depends entirely on His. Jesus said, "Because I live, you too will live." If He was raised, then we too will be raised. Like that song says, if He walked out of the tomb, if He walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. The fact that 2,000 years have passed means nothing, since God dwells in eternity. Our resurrection depends entirely on His. Number three, our resurrection bodies will be radically different from our present bodies, yet intimately related to them. It's really kind of the whole point of the chapter, isn't it? As the mighty oak rests in the acorn, even so, our resurrection bodies will be much different in every respect, and yet intimately related to our present life. Okay, this is what I believe. We're going to see ultimately the redeemed of all ages. We're going to see Moses. And we're going to go, that's Moses. And not because he looks like Charlton Heston. And not because he's wearing a name tag that says, "Hello, my name is Moses." No, we're going to know him. We're going to see Timothy. That's Timothy over there. We're going to see Martin Luther. We're going to go, that's Martin Luther. And there's his wife, Katie, right next to him. We're going to know, even as also we are known. We're going to be part of the greatest family reunion in history. So listen. I can promise you this, you will never regret being resurrected, and you will never ask for your old body back. Number four, when Christ returns, both living and dead Christians will receive their resurrection bodies, and death will finally be defeated. Funeral directors, God love them all. God love the morticians and funeral directors and the undertakers, whatever word you want to use. God love them. We appreciate them so much. But they're going to have to get a new job. Doctors are going to have to get a new job. Nurses are going to have to get a new job. Because in that day, in that happy land, no one gets sick. No one's ever ill. No one's in the hospital. No one's in ICU. And thank God, in that happy land, in the land to which we are going, no one ever dies. Number five, these truths ought to encourage us to stand firm and serve God joyfully, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know that. That's verse 58. Therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The pulpit commentary says, quote, there will be victory on the last battlefield. Life's a series of battles for all of us, and we all take it on the chin sooner or later. But in the last battle, the struggle with death, there's victory for the children of God. So my mind right now goes back to a few of the saints who over the last 50 years I have known, who are now in heaven. That list from me includes Bruce Thorne, Danny McCollum, Lynn Hoppe, Gary Olson, Stan Utegard, Ruth Hall, Osiel Pogue, Ed McCollum, and his wife, John and Helen Sergi, Cliff and Phyllis Rodge, Skip Olson, Fred Hartman, Steve Meyer, and so many more. These dear brothers and sisters now rest in the arms of Jesus. Death has taken them from us, but death cannot keep them forever. A better day is coming. A few years ago, Philip Yancey wrote a column for Christianity Today called The Day I'll Get My Friends Back. This is part of what he said. I believe in the resurrection primarily because I have gotten to know God. I know that God is love, and I also know that we human beings want to keep alive those whom we love. I do not let my friends die. They live on in my memory and my heart long after I have stopped seeing them. For whatever reason, again I imagine, he says, human freedom lies at the core. God allows a planet where a man in his prime of life dies scuba diving, and a woman is killed in a fiery crash on the way to a missions conference. But I believe that God is not satisfied with such a blighted planet. If I did not believe this, I would not believe in a loving God. Divine love will find a way to overcome. Death be not proud, wrote John Donne. God will not let death win. He's right. God will not let death win. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow expressed the same truth in his poem, God's Acre. Here are the first and last stanzas. I like that ancient Saxon phrase which calls the burial ground God's Acre. It is just. It consecrates each grave within its walls and breathes a benison over the sleeping dust. With thy rude plowshare, death, turn up the sod and spread the furrow, for the seed we sow. This is the field and acre of our God. This is the place where human harvests grow. What an image that is, the place where human harvests grow. Go to any graveyard where Christians are buried, and there you will find God's acre. Take off your shoes. It is holy ground. Human harvests are growing there. So I wrap up with the words of Thomas Watson, Puritan author. We are more sure to arise out of our graves than out of our beds. Oh, how precious is the dust of a believer. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful way to end on this Wednesday. More sure to arise out of our graves than out of our beds. Thomas Watson was right. How precious is the dust of a believer. So be encouraged. Friends, if you know Jesus, you have a great future. If you know Jesus, the best is yet to come. If you know Jesus, you're not going to stay the way you are. If you know Jesus, you're going to be raised incorruptible, immortal. It'll still be you. I'll still be me. But we shall have brand new bodies. Aren't you glad of that? So, be encouraged. Let the people of God rejoice. It is true. If Jesus rose, then we too will rise. And he did rise, so we too one day will rise. This is the promise of God. Thanks for listening today. This program is called Keep Believing. My name is Ray Pritchard. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.